Good morning, everyone. Wow, that's nice. That gives me a real deep tone, doesn't it? So it's so good to be with you and to visit you here in New Zealand. And you have a distinction this morning that is I have not experienced in any other church around the world. Do you know what it is? You sang songs I've never heard of before. Every single one, I hadn't heard those songs. So well done, worship team. That's great to have some new songs. I usually at least know one song, but so there you are. You're very distinct. It's been great to be with you guys and to visit the churches in New Zealand, to be part of the Global Impact Week. It has been our great privilege. I'm here with Dr. Lachlan, who is the head of our Bible college, and we've had the wonderful opportunity to be involved with your whole week of focus. So it's been fantastic. So I just want to introduce you to my family, but let's pray first before we start. Father, thank you for an opportunity to come and to be with the brothers and sisters in Christ from different nations, from different places. We come together and we worship you today across the world. Lord, help us today to know what it is you're saying to us, how you're going to challenge us today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon your people today. May we open our hearts to you. Minister deep in our souls. We come with joy and we come with expectation. We sing songs of praise. And we come that you might encounter us by your word. But Lord, move in our hearts today, that we would be both challenged if we need challenge and encouraged if we need encouragement. And sent forth in your power to preach the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I'm just giving you a moment to get used to my accent because my father is Canadian, my mother is Scottish, right? And I was raised in Australia. So my accent's going to go all over the place. And depending on who I'm speaking to, because I was in Colombia last week, I started to slur towards a bit of a Spanish accent, and then I was with some Americans, and my accent went across the American accent, so I'm a little bit muddled, so you'll get used to that. I do speak three languages, Canadian, Australian, and Scottish. So, but my family is, let me introduce you to my family. I have one wife. Oh, I didn't turn this on. Hang on. He's looking at me saying, what have you done? So I have one wife, which is always good, three sons, and 10 grandchildren. Now, I know you're saying, wow, so young to have 10 grandchildren, I know. But I got married very, very young. All my sons married young. They were all married before they were 22 years old. And we have a big tribe and probably great-grandchildren coming as well. So does this thing work on the pointer? Oh, here we go. So this is my wife, Merle, and this is the tribe. My son, Peter, over here, he's the pastor. My other son here, he's the IT guy. And my other son here, he's much more hands-on. He's an electrician, loves to build and do things. And this is our latest grandchild up here. And she is in Canberra just waiting for granddad to come and have a cuddle with granddad. So we're looking forward to seeing the kids. So that's my tribe. When I was ordained, a friend of mine gave me this photograph. That gave me this statue. It's about that tall, and it's made of pewter. And it was actually very, very interesting. Can you see what's distinctive about this statue? It was on the occasion of my ordination, and he said, I saw this in a Christian bookshop, and I just had to give it to you. Can you see what's distinctive about that? What's he holding? A Bible. Well, that's a good thing. If you're going to be ordained to be a minister of the gospel, you should have a Bible, right? Absolutely. What else is he holding? A gun. Wow. Why? Why would you give someone a present like that who's been recently ordained? Why would you give them something like that? Well, actually, it turned out to be rather prophetic. This is actually called the circuit preacher. In the early days in the United States, the magistrate and the preacher and the sheriff were all one person. So he would wander around from town to town. He'd be the sheriff, and he'd be and he'd be the Bible preacher, but he would also have the authority like that. So this turned out to be rather prophetic, because one of the other jobs I do is I work with the New South Wales Police Force, and we do chaplaincy and we do officer welfare. And so it was actually quite prophetic. Isn't that fascinating? When God does things like that ahead of time, you don't know it. So we are, as Christian and Missionary Alliance churches, we are a mission with churches. Now, let's make that distinction. We're not just a church that has an interest in missions. We are actually a missionary society. The Christian and Missionary Alliance around the world is a missionary sending agency that has churches. And those churches support the missionaries and workers we send overseas, as well as our local churches as well, of course. That means a very different mindset for us, doesn't it? We are, in fact, missionaries. Every single one of you is a missionary to your family, to your workplace, to your school, whatever it is you're doing. You, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are indeed a missionary. You ever thought about that? Yeah, and realize everybody around you is watching your life to see whether you are genuine, what you're saying matches the way you live. Isn't that fascinating? That's what it is to be a missionary. And you've got to find ways to adjust and to be able to share who Jesus is. We'll talk about that in a moment, in that context as missionaries. But let's not think of ourselves as, okay, so we came through the door at whatever it was it 9:30 or quarter past 9, and we'll all be done by 11 o'clock, and the sermon will be finished by 1 p.m., but don't worry. So we by 11 o'clock, we all leave here, and then we go back to our normal lives, right? No. We are Christians 24/7 for the rest of our lives, those of you who know Jesus. And everything you do will affect your witness personally and also your own deeper life walk with Jesus. So let's start to think of ourselves as missionaries, not just as members of a church, but also we are called to reach everyone, everywhere, all the time. Right? Say it with me. We are called to reach. Wow. And that's our opportunity. That means living for Jesus 24/7. That's all it means. It means to have a consistent life that is the same today in this hour of worship as it's going to be tomorrow morning. Now, if I came to your workplace tomorrow morning or to your school and I said, okay, I'm with the cops, I'm going to investigate you to find out whether you are truly Christian, and I'm going to interview all your classmates to find the evidence that you're a Christian, would there be evidence? Wow, it's a great question, isn't it? How much evidence is out there in your workplace or in your family? But they say, "Oh, sure, she prays. She told me about Jesus once, or he told me he did this. Or I know he goes to church. Yes, yes, yes. What's the evidence? You see, because we are very good at being chameleons. We are very good at being one thing today. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Yes, this is great. We're going to sing songs of praise, and then tomorrow." Be fascinating, wouldn't it? I think we should get Christians put little webcams on, you know, like we have on push bikes. And then the pastor can just watch what's happening in your day and see what you're up to. Wouldn't that be so? Pastor's smiling, he's laughing. Only the pastor would laugh at that. So let's talk about this in terms of scripture, because you don't want to hear just my thoughts, but let's have a look at the scripture. Okay, read it with me, okay? English service, we can do this, right? Okay. Acts 1:8, ready? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my... Wow, isn't that a great verse? You shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Fantastic verse, lovely verse. Now, there's something really interesting about this verse I want you to note. It says, you shall receive power. Okay? Do you know what that expression, you shall receive power, means in the original New Testament Greek? New Testament was originally written in Greek. Do you know what that phrase means in Greek? It means, you shall receive power. Isn't that fascinating? It doesn't mean you might receive power or you may receive power. No, it says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. Amen? Yeah, you do. Don't live in defeat and don't let the enemy make you feel that way. You have the power to walk in the Christian life, but you've got to want it. You've got to adjust your life in submission to God and actually walk in the truth of who you are. You with me? Okay, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And, where is it? And, do you know what that word and means in the New Testament Greek? It means and, okay, right? Play with me here. And you shall be my witnesses. Now, I want you to notice, what does and mean? And means the two things go together, okay? So as the Holy Spirit empowers you to live the Christian life, you will also be the witnesses of Jesus. Don't try and separate them. Don't try and say, I'm going to be a witness, but I'm not going to do it in the power of the Spirit. But don't also say, I can live in the power of the Spirit, but I won't be a witness for Jesus. The two come together all the time. And in fact, our witness is affected by the way we live. And the way we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are walking with Jesus in a genuine relationship with Jesus, there'll be there'll be no shutting you up. There'll be no quietening you. Because if you are walking in a genuine Christian life with Jesus Christ, there'll be no silencing you when it comes to talking about who Jesus is. They go together. Don't let anybody separate those two things. Now, what does it mean to be a witness? Before we get on, I want to spend our message time on hope today, but let's consider this. What does it mean to be a witness? What does a witness do? If you're called to be a witness for something, what do? You talk about what you saw, what you heard, and what you experienced, right? That's what we are called to do as Christians, is to talk about what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we have experienced of Jesus in our lives. And that's all. Because we worry about, when we witness, we worry about speeches that we have to make. We worry about presentations that we have to make. We worry about the tract that we have to follow. You know, when I was your age, we were taught, you give out tracts. You know what a tract is? You've probably never seen one in your life, some of you young people. A tract is a tiny little booklet of maybe 6 or 7 pages, and you'd talk to someone on a bus or something, and you give them a tract, and you get out of there because that would be the witness to them, right? Or you'd walk down the street, and you put them all the letterboxes. You put a tract in every letterbox in your street. That's how you did evangelism. It was more like a drive-by shooting than it was an evangelism. Just going, dung, 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 like something from a samurai, with the star knives. It had no personality to it. You with me? Yeah, okay. And then the other thing we were taught was you have to get into people's face when you do evangelism. So I'd walk up to you and say, hi, my name's Ken. Did you know you're going to hell? You're not really. No, it's all right. I'm just joking, okay? But that's what we were taught. Now, we didn't put it quite as bluntly as that. We would say, hi, I'm Ken. If you died tonight, do you know where you're going? That's how we were taught to do evangelism. But it was a little bit too much because there's no relationship. There's no connection to even get into that space yet. So we must realize that in the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be witnesses. And you don't have to worry about the speech, the introduction and the 3 points of the speech, the Bible verse and the closing argument. That keeps us from actually being a witness for Jesus. You just have to talk about who Jesus is to you. I sat next to a Jewish lady on a plane coming back from Colorado once. And a lovely Jewish lady, she was in the aisle. Her husband was on the other side of the aisle. I'm next to her. So she says to me, hearing me ask for coffee, she says, well, you're not from around here, sir. And I said, no, I'm from Australia. And she said, oh, really? Australia. So she's got a book in her hand, right? And so she said, "What are you all doing here in America?" Now, I have a choice, right? I'm here just on holidays. I went to Disneyland, which I did, and I went to the Kennedy Space Center, you know. I could just say, you know, and I'm going home. I'm a businessman. I run a big organization. Or you can just seed the conversation with a question mark, like fishing. So I said, "Oh, no, I'm actually work for a worldwide organization that gets alongside and helps people. But this morning I was in church and I met this lovely guy and he gave me another idea." Now, what have I just done? I've used one single word. Did you catch what it was? Church. I went to church this morning. If she is at all interested in talking about that, she'll come back to that question. You with me? Or I'll say, if someone says something negative or whatever else, I say, well, I'll throw in another sentence. I'll use the word Jesus, for example. Or I'll say, I prayed about something like that. My mum was crooked. I prayed for her. I'm throwing out single words and seeing where the conversation goes and trusting God for that conversation. Now, in that case, I spoke to that woman for the whole two-hour flight about Judaism for the first hour because she's Jewish. I kept the conversation going by asking her about her own religion. Then the second hour, there was the flip. "Sir, we talked about what I believe. What do you believe?" Wow. You see what I'm saying? And it's just as natural as breathing. And I understand you've got to have confidence in that, grow in that, but just try it sometime. And just use a single word and see where the conversation goes. So, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit to do that if you know Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't believe the lie that our community tells us we're not interested in Christians anymore. You have no opinion that matters. What nonsense. Absolute nonsense. People are very interested in spirituality today, but they're finding the answers in all the wrong places. And we have the truth, right? Amen? We have the truth, right? Yeah, we do. So why keep it? Wouldn't it be awful if somebody knew a truth and they didn't bother telling everybody and we walked a line living in a false reality? Let's have a look at the second verse real quick. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Right here we have the challenge of Christian ministry. Sometimes we're not very gentle. "Hi, you're going to hell" is not very gentle. It's not very respectful. You know, we do need to live our lives in a way that people can see who Jesus is in us. And we do need to have evangelism in the context of relationship. So let's have a look at this verse real quick. "Always be prepared." Do you know what that verse means, and that those words mean in the original New Testament Greek? They mean? Always be prepared. Okay, young man with the blue jacket and the fleecy thing, come on up here and tell us about who Jesus is. It says always be prepared, right? Well, here's the challenge. It's okay, relax. I'm not going to actually get you to do it. Let me tell you this. Every single one of you could come up here and talk about who Jesus is, right? And you could do it right now. But you probably stumble a little bit. Oh, okay, let me tell you about he was born and then there was a Christmas thing and he's coming back again and he changed water into wine. And yeah, you'd get there. You know all about Jesus. But are you prepared to give an answer to anybody who asks you about the hope that you have in 1 minute? Because that's what personal evangelism does. I could only have 1 minute with you, mate, on a bus or on a plane or in a queue at a shopping center. And I'll say, "Oh, how are you going, mate?" And you'll say, "Oh, yeah, it's been a busy day today. What have you been doing?" I'll say, "Okay, I went to church this morning, but I'm on my way home to see my family." One word could spark a conversation. "Church, why do you go to church?" What's the answer? In 1 minute. You ready? Always be prepared. Now, that conversation might be 1 minute, it might be 2 minutes, it might be 30 minutes. But are we ready? Have we got the 1 minute summary? of who Jesus is to us. By the way, I very rarely describe myself as a Christian. I describe myself as a follower of Jesus, the way of Jesus. For me, some people have been hurt by the church, and to say I'm a Christian can be a problem. So I always say, on a public square, I'll say, I'm a follower of Jesus. And they'll say, what does that mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus' way? See, again, you've got a question being asked. Now, I want to just move on from this real fast. So have a look at the contrast of these two verses. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will talk, you will witness. This one says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you. Who asks you? Who asks you? See the contrast of these two verses. One is us witnessing. The other one is living the Christian life, and someone actually says to you, hey, why are you different? You got it? So if you live a Christian life, a genuine walk with Jesus, people will see that. They'll see Jesus in you, and they will ask you. Classically, I was with a very senior person in our organization, and he was having some struggles. We were in a difficult situation together, and he actually said to me, Ken, how can it be in such a terrible situation that we're in that you can be so at peace? Who asks you? But they've got to see Jesus in you. And then they will ask you. Evangelism has always been a two-way street, according to Scripture. It's been speaking out the truth about who Jesus is, but it's also been living who Jesus is, living and letting people see who Jesus is, and they will ask you. Because you and I have access to a tremendous peace, tranquility, confidence, and hope that the rest of the community doesn't. And, oh man, do they need that. And frankly, they're looking for it. They are. So let's think about this for a minute. I don't know when I started, mate. I have to finish by noon, is that right? Yeah, okay. So let's have a think about this. Let's go here real fast. H-O-P-E. Someone said to me, describe the Alliance Church's teaching in one word. So I said hope. Okay, proclaim hope. That's what we're called to do. Now here's a four-point outline that you can use with anybody who asks you, okay? Let me equip you today with something. Just remember the word hope, H-O-P-E, right? So here's the four-point sermon. H, healthy relationship with God and others. Okay, say it with me. H says healthy relationship with and others. Right, okay. We want to have a healthy relationship with God. We talk about there is a God. We want to walk with God. God is a loving God. God is God, describe who God is. Describe who Jesus is. A healthy relationship with God involves things like prayer. And it involves things like reading God's word. It involves things like fellowship like this, where we come and spend time with each other. So we have a healthy relationship with God is incredibly important. Equally important, though, is a healthy relationship with each other. Sorry, I'm doing this. I'm not meaning to do that. A healthy relationship with God and a healthy relationship with each other. You know, there are churches where people can't stand each other. You know, let me tell you a secret. Sometimes Christians don't get along. I know that's not a revelation to some of you, but it's true. But a healthy relationship with each other is absolutely vital. Unity in the church is very, very important because people out there can smell a phony. You know what I mean? They can tell. They're not dumb. Don't treat people out there like they're dumb. They know when we're not being genuine. So a healthy relationship with God is incredibly important. How we treat and love each other is incredibly important. Do you know churches are split over the color of the carpet? Oh, yeah, we split about theology, you know. Somebody argues about some one word in a verse. But people actually fight over carpet colour. You know, I've been to meetings where they've been planning to build a building like this and the question of the carpet comes up. The carpet should be blue, brother. Of course it should be blue. It's blue. That's royal blue. That's what royalty wears. Jesus is royal. We should be coming to worship the king. The carpet should be blue up the front. And then somebody else says, oh, no, 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 hang on. It should be red because red is the color of celebration. It's also the color of sacrifice. It's the color of the blood of Jesus. The carpet at the front should be red. And they argue across the room about this and they fight. And then some people leave the church because the wrong color is chosen. Now, that is really dumb, isn't it? Now, it's a extreme illustration, but apply that to your situation. People leave churches for all kinds of reasons. Most of them are stupid. Most of them are dumb reasons. We are followers of Jesus, not followers of culture, not followers of buildings, not followers of worship styles, not followers of personalities. Pastor Jonathan, we don't want people, I don't want people following me. You don't want people following you because we're fallen. You are always going to find fault in a leader. It's not hard, actually. But unity in the body of Christ means that we walk and we walk together in our imperfections. And Pastor will have some gifts. He has a gift of pastor, teacher, and he is your shepherd. But he is also a follower of Jesus individually as well. A healthy relationship with God and others. O is for on mission. That simply means what I was talking about before. To be on mission is to be talking about who Jesus is, to be sharing about who Jesus is, doing that here in Auckland, but also overseas, and that can happen simultaneously. I can't do it simultaneously. I can be one place at one time. What I mean is I can be a witness right here in Auckland, but still be a supporter of overseas missions and cheerleader for them, give financially to them and to pray for those who are called overseas. On mission, that's what we're about. On mission to share the truth and the gospel. P is for people of prayer and praise. We came and did that this morning. Thank you, worship team. You led us in worship. You prayed for us. This is the relational side of our worship. We acknowledge that God is number one. We sing songs of praise. We submit our hearts to his teaching. We follow his rules. We follow what the scripture says. And we pray for one another. That is family. That is relationship. And E is to be empowered by the Spirit for the task that he gives us. Every single one of you has a spiritual gift, according to the New Testament. Followers of Jesus. If you are filled with the Spirit, you're a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. Do you know what it is? Now, some people know what their spiritual gift is. Pastor, I'd venture to say, most pastors have the gift of pastor and gift of teacher. So you're able to teach the Word of God, but you're also able to shepherd the flock of God. Okay, so my gifting is pastor teacher. My brother Peter, his gift is teacher pastor. He's the head of a Bible college. He wants to be a good teacher, right? He's a gifted teacher, but he also has a pastoral heart. Now there are many other gifts that are around: the gifts of administration, gifts of hospitality, gifts of healing, gifts of being someone who has more faith and can instill faith. There are 27. Different spiritual gifts. They are all given to individual believers for the collective good, for the good of the entire church. So what I mean by that is if everyone here uses their gift, this church is blessed. But you've got to know what your gift is, right? So it's a great exercise to look into that. What is the gift? What is it that God has given me to contribute to the church? So my wife has two gifts. She has the gift of hospitality. She loves to have people over. She loves to make food. So we invite people to our home. She feeds them up. And then in the context of that, we show them love and acceptance. And we, if we have the opportunity, we'll share the scripture with them. We'll tell them about who Jesus is. Hospitality is an incredibly important gift in a church. She also has the gift of discernment of spirit, or discernment of evil spirits, to be more accurate. So she can actually discern what's happening spiritually in a room. There are many gifts. Gifts of tongues, for example. That's a genuine spiritual gift and should be exercised in accordance with the scriptural warrants. There are scriptural warrants. The gift of prophecy is a genuine spiritual gift. Should be exercised under authority of leadership and within the biblical warrants. Some people have the gift of martyr. You know what that is? the gift that means that you give your life for the gospel. Most people want the gift of tongues. Very few people come up the front and say, Jesus, give me the gift of martyr, right? But the gift of martyrdom is what most of the apostles experienced. They gave their lives. They died for their faith. And there are people with that gift of martyrdom even today in many other countries where people suffer and die for their faith. We live in Australia and you live here in New Zealand in incredibly blessed circumstances. The poorest of us is multiple wealthy compared to the rest of the world. We are blessed people. So let's start to live in the celebration of being a blessed person by being a blessing to other people. Realizing that the gifts we are given, the wealth that we are given, is not just so that we can enjoy the BMW. Does anybody have a BMW here today? Oh, whew. Okay. Nothing wrong with having a BMW, by the way. If you want to give me one, I'm very happy to accept it. But it's the heart attitude. If life is about the BMW and the house and the pool and the caravan, then you're on the wrong track. We are blessed, we are given wealth, we are given education so that we can pass that on. And in the Christian context, to pass the gospel on. That's what your Global Missions Week has been all about. I loved it last night when Andrew said, I want to challenge you all to give $5 a week to mission. Every adult in the room to give $5 a week to missions. I thought that was just so practical. Can you imagine what would happen if you had 1,000 people in the Alliance in New Zealand and you had $5,000 a week going to overseas missions? What the impact of that would be? Yeah, think about that. I spent $7 on a cup of coffee yesterday. $7. I couldn't believe it for a cup of coffee yesterday. I'm used to only paying $6. And being a Scotsman, you know, I don't like to get ripped off. It was nothing for me to spend $7 on a cup of coffee. But are we actually going to give $5 a week to see the gospel go out? See, it's all about priorities and heart. So, proclaim hope. Let's be proclaimers of hope, a message of hope. People are without hope in our world. They need hope. They need to know there is a hope in the future. And ultimately, the only hope in the future that matters is Jesus Christ. And that we go to be with Him in heaven. Healthy relationship with God and others. Being on mission with the gospel. Being people of prayer and praise and submission of our lives to the way of Jesus and to His Lordship, and to be empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the presence of the Spirit of Jesus to do the task that He has called us to do. We have not been asked to do something that we do not have the ability to do. I'm not asking you to go and share who Jesus is in your own strength, in your own personality, in your own ability, because you will fail miserably. We do it in the empowering presence of God, relying on God to transform our lives, relying on God to give us recall of Scripture, relying on God to give us opportunities to share and to love people. Any pagan, any shaman can do ceremonies of religious things. We bring the truth of the one and living God to the world, brothers and sisters. Let's not keep him to ourselves. Lastly, the last thing just to share with you. The church in Western countries is facing a crisis at the moment. And most Western countries are facing crisis economically. Yes, okay, there's economics. There's the whole thing of, you know, disease and COVID and that kind of thing. But the primary challenge we have in Western cultures is getting along together in our cultures. Unity among the peoples of the world. Now, I don't know whether you noticed it, but if you go around, I certainly noticed it in Australia and New Zealand, you go around and people are from everywhere, all over the world. God is bringing people from all over the world to our city, to your city. People from all over the world are in this city. And we have an opportunity as God's church to show what it is that when the peoples of the world can come together and live together in harmony and in peace. Love one another. No matter where they're from. Let's go back to our verse and show you what I mean by that. Does this thing go backwards? Yes, it does. Give an answer to everyone. Everyone, no matter where they're from, no matter what their economic circumstances, no matter what their age, no matter what their gender, we have an opportunity as God's people to show that unity. And churches like yours, English services, who will one day be international English services, and when you have the peoples of the world coming together, then that shows the world that there is hope in Jesus, because Jesus unifies cultures. Jesus unifies people. Jesus unifies genders. Jesus unifies economic barriers. We are all one in Christ. Anyway, these are the things that God put on my heart and mind to share with you today. One last thing. We often think of the sacrifice of Jesus as being on the cross. So when you think of Jesus, you think. So you think of Jesus that way. But do you know something really, really quite fascinating? The position of the cross is also the position of welcome. When I get home tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to go and see the grandchildren. You know what they're going to do when they see me? The position of the cross and sacrifice is also the position of come to me, all of you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you forgiveness. I will give you a hope and a future. I will fit you for eternity, Jesus says. Think about that. Jesus has open arms. You've experienced that, many of you. Some of you here, though, might be today wondering, what is this all about? I really do want to take that next step. I really do want to walk in the way of Jesus. We'd love to pray with you after the service. So, Pastor, can I pray for the church, and then I'll hand to the worship team or whatever's happening next? Father God, thank you for an opportunity to share just a few truths. But, Lord, you can work deep in our hearts today. Help us to realize the tremendous opportunities we have that sometimes we don't take. Help us to be courageous. Come, Holy Spirit, upon your people in power, I pray, even at this moment. May they know what it is to have complete confidence in you, to know what it is to have full surrender, to know what it is to walk in holiness of life, to know what it is to walk in empowerment when it comes to sharing their faith, to know what it is to live consistently and walk in the way of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you grow this church. I pray, Lord, that you bring the nations to this church, that Jesus and English would be a common unifier, that we can show the world that is incredibly racist, that we can show the world that in Jesus the nations and the cultures can come together in Christ, love and live in harmony in Jesus. What a tremendous that message is. What a tremendous opportunity that message is alone. So help us, Lord, to keep our eyes ever on you and realize that we are being watched by our friends and our family and our workmates. They know whether we're genuine. Dear God, help us to be genuine. Help us to be effective. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.